Good to be here this morning once again as we're here to study those things of divine nature.
Amen.
And we want to always keep in our memory that Jesus must be the center of our attention. He must be the center of our attention. If we make anything or anybody the center of our attention, we will be disappointed because people change. Sometimes they don't mean to change, but people change. And so we want to make God the center of our attention. I want to continue my thought on the subject of how Jesus came to see. And I'm confident that if we work on it, and we know we're all going to have storms going to come in our lives, He can calm us on the inside. So I want to talk about perfect trust in Jesus, perfect trust in Jesus. And let us learn that we should put perfect trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Now, as I was just looking at this lesson, perfect trust in the Heavenly Father enabled Jesus to sleep during the storm. Because he had perfect trust in his Father. If you look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23, and like I said, there are lessons that we can learn, and we have to learn to work on our calmness on the inside, and I think that we can get better. As we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we'll look at Peter here in a few minutes. And Peter was pretty, he would kind of get worked up there a little bit. But now we find that, you know, Peter, he calmed down. He calmed himself down and he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter, we know. But we have here in Matthew chapter 8 and 23, just go back to this text because I think I can branch off from this and get other lessons. Now when he got into a boat, this was Jesus, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. He didn't let the storm bother him. And like I said, always remember that there's always going to be something that you will have to deal with. That's just life . And that's why we need the Master. We need Jesus as we go through these different storms of life. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. They got scared, and Jesus, he cares about us being afraid, and we know that Jesus calmed the sea for them, not for himself, but for them. He's already calm. Miraculously, he calmed the sea. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Have you ever kind of been a little worked up about something, and then you remember some scriptures, and then it just calms you down? The Lord's, the 23rd Psalm, it's a good chapter to think about when you kind of get yourself a little worked up. Read the 23rd Psalms. And seems like it just calms us down. It does me. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So we'll stop reading there. And so we can see here that perfect trust in the Heavenly Father enabled Jesus to sleep during the storm. If you was on the sea with Jesus, just like these disciples, could you sleep knowing that he's there on that boat with you? Could you sleep? I remember back when we went to Miami and Carroll City, Florida, back in 82, I think it was. 1982, somewhere in there. And we went there and stayed there, I think, a week. And on the way back, we come home and was so tired. When we got into bed, we were sound to sleep. And they had a fire in the neighborhood with all them fire trucks and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the next morning they said, did y'all not hear all of that? We didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. But my point is this. Sometimes, as we look at this here, if we focus on Jesus, and remember those scriptures, we shouldn't be all the time be awake at night. Jesus, you remember he told his disciples when he was going back to heaven to let not your heart be troubled. Mm-hmm. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. Mm-hmm. To receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be there too. Mm-hmm. He said, but don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. And so, my next point, I'm going to move on. My next point is, perfect trust enabled Peter years later to sleep so soundly that an angel had to smite him in the side to awake him. He was, and from my understanding, in Acts chapter 12, in my understanding, he was going to be killed the next morning. And he went on to sleep. Boy, that's good there. I wouldn't sleep. More than likely. I'm still growing. I tell you right now, I'm still growing. But Peter went on to sleep. He did not let that bother him.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And beginning with verse 1. We'll look at this here. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Didn't I tell you there's always going to be something? Harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Man, them old kings didn't play with you. They'd kill you in a heartbeat. Blink of an eye. A lot of them like to just chop your head off. I guess that'd be pretty, I'd rather go that way than a torture, because they hit you with that axe on, and then you won't even feel it. I'd rather go that way than that other way. Brother Davis, though, he's in the military. He knows how about all of that. Mm-hmm. He served in the military for 20 years. That's amazing.
Amen.
Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, underscore it pleased the Jews, he did it to please the Jews. I'm going to come back to that thought. He proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Mm-hmm. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Just keep on praying, church. Everybody just keep praying for one another. That's what we need.
Amen.
And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Mm-hmm. Could you sleep in a situation like this? Peter did. Peter did. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And we need to understand the fact that an angel of the Lord was given supernatural powers to do this. God was on Peter's side. God was on the angel's side. And it was a supernatural power here. Then the angel said to him, "Gird up yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." See, the angel instructed Peter, and Peter obeyed. Peter didn't argue with the angel. He didn't ask questions. He just obeyed. There's times we just need to just obey. Now, if you see here in verse 9, "So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him." And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod." Amen. And from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So here we find that many Christians was at this house and they were praying. There's power in prayer.
Amen.
And we need to just keep on praying and praying and praying.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing, because there is power in prayer.
Amen.
But I want you to go back to Acts chapter 12 and verse 3. I want you to look at verse 3 there. Well, let's just read 1 through 3. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Then look at verse 3. "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews," underscore pleased the Jews, "he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread." But you know, Herod did this to please the Jews. Here Luke tells us that Herod's motives were political. It was political. He really didn't have a problem with James on his teaching, nor was he seeking justice for some great wrong. He was merely trying to gain the favor of the Jews. You know, people that do this today in politics.
Amen.
They do it on secular jobs, and sometimes it slips in the church, and you know, politics. Mm-hmm. But we don't want that, then use no politics in the church. You know, we're going to use what God's word says about it. But on the secular job, you know, a lot of stuff is politics. If you do what we say do, we can move you on up.
Amen.
See, we move you on up. And then sometimes, brethren, I remember a lot of times brethren will visit. I remember they used to do us back to the old building, Third and Park. A lot of brethren would just visit for business. Mm-hmm. They didn't care nothing about us. They just come to visit to get your business.
Mm-hmm.
To sell you some insurance or sell you an automobile. They didn't care nothing about you, you see. Or politics. But my point is this, we're going to go on and get on back here on Peter here. Peter was thus sleeping soundly. He was sleeping soundly in the morning, though in the morning he was supposed to be executed. Man, he was sleeping. He was supposed to be executed, killed, had the Lord not intervened this situation. But he went on to sleep. The fear of death did not prevent his sleeping. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. Peter trusts Jesus, and we can trust Jesus too. Mm-hmm. Got to trust him. Got to obey him. What's that song we sing? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. We just got to trust him and obey him.
Amen.
And sometimes we don't trust him like we should.
Amen.
Peter went on to sleep. Because I guess he figured King Herod wasn't nothing he could do about it, nohow. So he went on to sleep.
Amen.
The next point is this. Perfect trust in Jesus would lead people to obey the gospel. The reason why people don't obey the gospel, they don't trust Jesus. They're not willing to give up some things. And we have to give up some things. Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 5, 8 and 9, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where the Hebrew writer tells us, talked about Christ. Christ gave up some things. Hebrews chapter 5, 8 and 9. Where the Hebrew writer, he says, talked about Christ, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Amen.
That's Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. And then I studied this, and let's look at the next verse. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. To be saved, we have to obey God's word.
Amen.
Ain't no way in the world anybody can be saved without obeying God's word.
Amen.
And we can't make up our way we can't make up nothing. We cannot make up a way to be saved. It's already been made up for us. But I want you to take note here where the Bible says, talking about Christ, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus didn't learn obedience through sin and error. That's how we learn. You remember David said, I have learned, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have learned the righteous statutes.
Amen.
It was good that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your righteous statutes. And so Jesus did not learn obedience through sin and error. That's how we learn it, because Jesus had no sin. But Jesus learned what obedience required. He learned what obedience required. It required suffering. Obedience was going to require suffering. And so Jesus, he went through it. Now he knows how we feel. He went through the suffering. He knows how we feel.
Amen.
He knows that we have weaknesses. He understands. So that's a verse that we always need to understand, the fact that Jesus didn't learn obedience through sin and error. He had no sin. But he understand the fact that he learned obedience, and he understand what is what's required in being obedient to the Father, and his suffering. His suffering. Now we want to look at another scripture. Romans chapter 6. And after one obeys the gospel, we know that he's going to make mistakes. He's a babe in Christ, and we're going to make them.
Amen.
But we can learn from those mistakes and learn from the mistakes of others. I believe we can do that. In Romans chapter 6, 15 through 18, Romans chapter 6, 15 through 18, Paul asked the question, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were, as past tense, you were, not now, you were, talking to Christians, you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Thank God we obey.
Amen.
Tell people you can rejoice when you obey the gospel. You can be happy. You're no longer a slave to sin. Even though after we obey the gospel, sometimes we're going to sin. But we don't want to be slaves of sin. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
Amen.
And like I said, sometimes we sin, but we can't be a slave of sin. Everybody sins. Don't matter who they are. Elders, deacons, preachers, makes no difference. But I tell people this, if you don't let that dominate you, don't let it dominate you. Because Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. Where is he at? He's in heaven. So we do sin sometimes, but don't let it dominate you. Be a slave of righteousness, not a slave of sin. Now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, 16. I'm going to get out. I'm going to get through with this lesson here. It looked like early. 1 Peter chapter 4. Perfect trust in Jesus will lead people to obey the gospel. If they trust Jesus, which I don't know why people would not trust Jesus and trust God the Father who created us. He's the one who created us. He's the reason why we're breathing. It's because of him. It ain't because of me. It's because in him we live, move, and have our being. Without God, we're nothing. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. We're going to suffer. If you do the right thing, which I know you're doing the right thing, you're going to just suffer as a Christian. That's just part of it. That's part of it. You're on the secular job. A lot of times when you stand up for what's right, you know, you're going to suffer. Could lose your job. But if you lose it, God will give you another one. Now let's look at verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one scarcely say, that is with much difficulty and hardship, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? See, there is no hope for sinners who don't repent and be baptized. There's just no hope.
Amen.
I don't get pledge out of preaching a lesson like this, but there's just no hope. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good to a faithful creator.
Amen.
So perfect trust in Jesus will lead one to obey the gospel. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And if you would, look at verse 6. Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. And so we can see here that God is righteous. He's always on our side. Amen. When we do the right thing, he's righteous. He's on our side.
Amen.
And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance or justice, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They heard the gospel, but they didn't respect it, didn't obey it.
Amen.
These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you were believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now watch it. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Underscore that. Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord and the of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, when Christians prove their faith by their works, then what we do, we glorify God.
Amen.
We have to prove that our faith, we prove our faith by our works. Now I can talk from now on, but Paul is saying when Christians prove their faith by their works, they will glorify God. That's how we glorify God, by proving our faith by our works. And that's how that works.
Amen.
Perfect trust in Jesus will make us faithful in worship. It's going to make us faithful in worship. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, 42, the disciples continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So perfect trust in Jesus is going to, we're going to be faithful in our worship. We'll be faithful in our worship. Acts 20:7, the Bible says that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Hebrews 10:25, the Bible tells us, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And even though sometimes we have church problems, don't have any here now, but there's times churches, congregations have church problems, and God wants the saints to assemble even though they have church problems, because he wants everybody to assemble so we can work on those problems.
Amen.
And then we find in Revelations 2 and verse 10 that Jesus tells us to be faithful unto death, and he says, I'll give you the crown of life. We have to be faithful until we die.
Amen.
We got to. Ain't no way to get around that. Perfect trust in Jesus will support us as we cross the valley of death. And we will fear no evil. Psalms 23 and verse 4. And so, and the Lord is our shepherd. Remember David said that. He went through a lot. I shall not want. He said, I will fear no evil. Well, we know God is on our side. And ain't no need in fearing man or fearing nobody. No need in fearing death. When you're right with God, you know, ain't no need in fearing death because it's better on the other side. As I read the Bible and I believe the Bible, it's better on the other, it's better in paradise. So those are not who are not Christians out there, to become a Christian, you must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. And if you are out there and you are a Christian, you have fallen away, please come back while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.
Amen.